The Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Free Company.
For what avail a plow or sail or land or life if freedom fail? This is Burgess Meredith in Hollywood speaking for The Free Company. Today we hear Franco Tone and Gail Patrick in a new radio play by Robert E. Sherwood, author of Abe Lincoln in Illinois and There Shall Be No Night. The Free Company is a group of leading writers, actors, and radio workers who have joined together on their own initiative to present a series of dramas illustrating and explaining our basic American liberties. All members contribute their services as a free expression of their faith in American democracy and in the basic civil rights which make that way of living together possible. The list of writers for the Free Company includes some of the most distinguished names in American letters. 9 Free Company members have won Pulitzer Prize awards. Our dramatists include Maxwell Anderson, Sherwood Anderson, Stephen Vincent Benet, James Boyd, George M. Cohan, Norman Corwin, Paul Green, Ernest Hemingway, Archibald MacLeish, Orson Welles, Elmer Rice, and John Steinbeck. Today, Robert E. Sherwood's play, An American Crusader, seeks to honor the memory of a man who fought against cruel odds for freedom of speech and for freedom of the press. His name was Elijah Parrish Lovejoy. He lived more than 100 years ago, when our country was in a period of growing uncertainty and fear, increasing doubt of the permanence of our institutions. Americans in Lovejoy's time could be heard saying many of the same things that we hear today.
People are hollering about the need for national unity, but there ain't no such thing.
We've got to abolish slavery. There can be no compromise with evil.
If we keep on the way we're going, we'll be in war, and that'll mean the end of democracy.
What this country needs is sound money.
This new doctrine of President Monroe sounds good on paper, but it won't work.
The trouble with this country is we're getting mixed up in the politics of Europe.
The trouble with this country is...
One of the greatest American voices was raised in an expression of faith at the dedication of the Bunker Hill Monument in Boston. It was the voice of Daniel Webster.
If the true spark of religious and civil liberty be kindled, it will burn. Human agency cannot extinguish it. Like the earth's central fire, it may be smothered for a time. The ocean may overwhelm it. Mountains may press it down. But its inherent and unconquerable force will heave both the ocean and the land, and at some time or other, in some place or other, the volcano will break out and flame up to heaven.
So spoke Daniel Webster, and his words burned into the soul of young Elijah Lovejoy, who had gone from his native Maine to the Theological Seminary in Princeton. The day before his graduation, he is called to the office of Dr. Guthrie, the dean of the seminary.
Ah, oh, Mr. Lovejoy, I'm glad to see you. Do sit down.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to have a word with you before you leave us. I knew there would be no time in the midst of tomorrow's ceremonies. Of course, like all the others, you'll be glad to be out of this stuffy, scholastic atmosphere.
I'll never stop being grateful to you, sir, for your kindness, your understanding.
I hope you really mean that, Mr. Lovejoy.
I shouldn't say it if I didn't mean it, Dr. Guthrie.
No, I'm sure you wouldn't. I've observed that you're one who isn't afraid to speak his mind. I believe you'll make a great name for yourself as a minister of the gospel.
Dr. Guthrie, I have a confession to make.
I'm eager to hear it, Mr. Lovejoy.
I'm not going to preach the gospel. At least, not from the pulpit.
But tomorrow you'll be ordained as a minister. You've been working hard for years to reach that goal.
I know it, but there's a great battle going on. A battle which will decide whether freedom and slavery can continue to exist side by side in the same country, in the same world. I want to join in that fight.
And how do you propose to fight, and where?
I have an opportunity to become editor of a newspaper in St. Louis, Missouri. That's where the fight's strongest. Do you feel I'm making a mistake?
Naturally, I'm disappointed. I've been a minister of the gospel all my life. For the past 30 years and more, I've been instructing young men like yourself in the word of God.
And you've taught it well, Dr. Guthrie. So well that you filled me with a desire to preach it. Not only from the pulpit, but in the marketplace, in the streets, on the farms, and across the great waters. For the word of God is the promise of justice to all men. Equality for all men. Freedom for all men, by God's will. I know I can say these things in the church to pious people, but I believe I can say them more strongly through the press, the free press. More people will hear them.
You realize, don't you, that in following this course, you'll be risking your life? This war you're entering, it's a bitter war. A war to the death.
I realize that, Dr. Guthrie, but if I am risking my life, it could not be in a better cause.
That is no more than the truth, Mr. Lovejoy. May God give you strength in the battle that is ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Elijah Lovejoy went to St. Louis. He gained recognition as a young man of high promise, of courage, of intelligence, and integrity. And there was no one more appreciative of his good qualities than a certain young lady named Cecilia Ann French.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, miss. What can I do for you?
We want a marriage license.
Well, I suspected as much, seeing as this is the Marriage License Bureau. Name, please.
Elijah Parrish Lovejoy.
Date and place of birth?
Albion, Maine, November 9th, 1802.
And the lovely bride?
Celia Ann French, born right here in St. Louis.
You don't have to say when. Your occupation, Mr. Lovejoy?
I'm a minister of the gospel. And I'm editor of the St. Louis Observer.
Oh, I thought I'd seen your name somewhere. Been having a mite of trouble, haven't you, Mr. Lovejoy?
Yes, a little.
Well, I guess everybody is these days. Here's your license. I wish you both luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Elijah?
Yes, Celia.
What did he mean, trouble?
Oh, nothing in particular. All newspaper editors have trouble. It's part of our job.
Elijah, don't lie to me. You have been having a particular kind of trouble, for my father says...
I know what your father says. He thinks I'm one of those crazy reformers who'd better keep their ideas to themselves.
And maybe he's right, Elijah. If you endanger yourself by expressing those ideas...
Celia, listen to me. Your father's a dear old gentleman who has a fine, big plantation and many slaves. And a beautiful daughter. And ideas and beliefs that are not the same as mine. He doesn't think anything should ever be changed.
And you think everything should be changed?
Not quite everything, but many things. Oh, I don't say your father isn't justified in his convictions. But he doesn't realize that times have changed. That what was true in his time is no longer true in yours and mine. He helped shape and build his world, as you and I must shape and build our world, Celia.
But if it means danger and trouble...
There is always danger and trouble when men battle for truth. Celia, darling, I love you more than anything in the world except one thing.
And that one thing?
Man's liberty.
But that's only an idea.
Not an idea, see. An ideal. An ideal for which men have fought and died since the beginning of history. It's a never-ending battle, for in every generation there's a new threat, a new menace. And it must be met, no matter what the cost.
I'm not sure that I understand. And I'm a little frightened, too. Oh, Elijah, promise me. Promise me you'll keep out of danger for my sake.
I promise to love you for as long as I shall live. Be content with that, darling. And right now, let's forget everything except the one important fact that we're going to be married.
Sorry to break in on your wedding party.
But what do you want?
We want to wish you happiness, Mrs. Lovejoy.
Why, that's very kind of you.
And we want to wish you a peaceful life.
Yes, Mrs. Lovejoy. It'd be too bad to see a nice young bride like you turned all of a sudden into a widow.
What do you mean? Get out of here!
Now, don't start any trouble, Mr. Lovejoy.
We mean business.
Let us hear what they have to say, Elijah.
That's good advice, Mrs. Lovejoy.
Come on, then. What is it you want?
We want to tell you we don't like your newspaper, Mr. Lovejoy. And we're telling you, in the interests of your health, you better get out of St. Louis. Get out fast. Move to some district where your opinions are more popular.
Have I been printing anything that's false?
We're not here to argue that point.
We're telling you to get.
We've given you fair warning, Mr. Lovejoy. That's all. Come on, boys.
Oh, Elijah.
I'm sorry this happened, darling.
Is this what you meant by the battle for truth?
Yes, Senor. This is what I meant.
The country was becoming more seriously divided. One group was shouting, slavery must be abolished. The other group was shouting, each state must mind its own business and leave its neighbors alone. Lovejoy was forced to move his printing press across the Mississippi River to Alton in Illinois. There he and his bride set up housekeeping anew, and he started another newspaper.
Look, darling, the first issue of the Alton Observer. Aren't you proud? Here, read it.
Slavery is a crime against God and man. It is poison in the very lifeblood of human society. But Elijah, you're saying the very same things that you said in St. Louis.
Well, of course I am. They're the truth.
But people don't want to hear the truth.
Nonsense, Celia. Illinois is a free territory. It was the truth that set us free. It'll keep us free.
It's all very well to fight for the truth. But not at the risk of losing your home and happiness and maybe your own life.
I wish I could make you understand, Celia, that the truth for which I fight is worth all that risk. Once you see that, once you understand, then you'll not fear any longer.
In a way, I understand. But it all seems so hopeless. You're only one man against a city. What good does it do to raise your voice? Who listens?
When I was still in college, I heard Daniel Webster. I've never forgotten his words. They burned into my very soul. He said, if the true spark of religious and civil liberty be kindled, it will burn. Like the earth's central fire, it may be smothered for a time. The ocean may overwhelm it. Mountains may press it down. But its inherent and unconquerable force will heave both the ocean and the land, and at some time or other, in some place or other, the volcano will break out and flame up to heaven. Those were his words, Celia. I don't want to have it said they were spoken in vain. That's why, even though mine's the only voice in all this territory, it must be raised to keep alive that spark of liberty.
But the risk, Elijah.
I'm going to fight them to the end, Celia. I'm determined.
Look at this, Jake.
What is it?
The new newspaper. Read that.
Slavery is a crime against God and man.
Well, who's printing that disgraceful inflammatory...
It's that young preacher that just moved in. Name of Lovejoy.
Oh, say... He's the fellow they threw out of St. Louis.
Sure he is.
He ain't got no right to print such stuff. That's war talk.
That's precisely what it is. Trying to stir up trouble. As Judge Douglas says, he's trying to inflame the passions of men.
If you let people like that go on talking, and worse, printing their opinions, why, we'll end up in war, civil war.
Well, since we seem to be agreed, the next question is, what do we do about it?
Elijah, look. There's a mob of men coming up to the house. Men with torches. Oh, darling, I'm frightened.
There's no need to be, Celia.
What are you going to do?
I'll go out to talk to them.
Oh, Elijah.
I'll be all right, my dear. Well, gentlemen.
We just come to call, Mr. Lovejoy. To tell you, you won't be needing to go down to your newspaper office tomorrow. Because the newspaper ain't any good without a printing press. And your printing press ain't there any longer.
You stolen it?
Oh, no, we ain't stole it. We just heaved it in the Mississippi River.
And you'll find it in the mud, Mr. Lovejoy.
And it won't be in very good condition for printing anymore, your firebrand war talk.
Have you got anything to say to us before we bid you good night, Mr. Lovejoy?
Just this. The Mississippi's a mighty big river, but it isn't big enough to drown all the words that are going to be spoken before this issue's settled. Good night.
You're all right, Elijah?
Yes, dear, I'm all right. But I'm silenced. Oh, you should have listened to your father, Celia. Never married a crazy reformer with no gift for anything but antagonizing people.
Will we have to leave Alton now?
I don't know. I don't know where we could go or what we could do. We haven't any money left.
Does it matter, darling?
Yes, it does matter. We can't let them beat us this way.
But what's the use of going on, Elijah? Yours is only one voice crying in the wilderness.
All the more reason why my voice must be heard then. For surely somewhere, somehow, somebody will hear. The ocean may overwhelm it. Mountains may press it down. But its inherent and unconquerable force will heave over the ocean and land.
And there were some who heard, even in Alton, some who knew Lovejoy was fighting the good fight, and some, too, who knew that he could not fight alone.
Mr. Lovejoy?
Yes, Dr. Macklin.
I believe you know these gentlemen, Mr. Strother, Mr. Callahan, Mr. Enton.
How do you do, gentlemen?
How do you do, sir?
We've come to you on behalf of certain citizens of this town, citizens who've come here from all parts of the country, north and south. We represent all sorts of political opinion, but we are united in our devotion to the principles of our Constitution, including freedom of speech.
Well, I'm glad to hear those principles have not been totally forgotten by all Americans.
I'm from South Carolina, sir. My family have been slaveholders for generations. But I believe in the words of Voltaire. I disagree with what you say, but I will defend with my life your right to say it, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Strother. You're a real patriot.
As we all are, I hope. We've taken up a collection sufficient to buy you a new printing press, Mr. Lovejoy. We wish you to resume publication of your paper.
And if that scalawag mob comes around again, call on us. We'll help you fight him.
Are you ready to fight for freedom, Mr. Callahan?
I'm an American of Irish descent, Mr. Lovejoy. Need I say more?
No. Need say no more, or any of you. Gentlemen, this is an act of great generosity and great faith. I shall do my best to justify it.
So, once more, the Alton Observer printed its attacks on slavery and intolerance. But the mob was strong, and again the crusader Lovejoy was attacked and his press destroyed. And he set up a new press in a warehouse in Alton. An armed guard of volunteers assembled to defend the building on the night of November 7th, 1837.
I suppose it's useless for me to ask you, beg you, please don't go down there.
Well, I have to go, my darling. I've got to get the paper out.
They'll try to kill you. You know that.
Yes, I know it. But I also know that they can't kill what I stand for. All over the country, the Friends of Freedom are interested in this fight. We can't surrender now.
What satisfaction will there be for me, knowing that your ideals live on while you...
Darling, there are certain things that are more important than our own lives. The things which make our own lives worth living. I'm no hero. I'm just an ordinary person who believes that there's no point in being an American. There's no point in being a man, unless this country lives in freedom. If I denied that belief, I wouldn't deserve to be your husband, you know it. There'd be no happiness, no peace for either of us.
All right, Elijah. If that's what you believe, then I can't change you. But I'm going with you.
No, Celia, you can't.
Wherever you are, I want to be.
I've made this fight against your wishes, against your better judgment, yet you've stood by me no matter what you felt or what you believed, but I can't let you do this. The risk's too great, Celia.
No matter what the risk, no matter what I believe, a wife's place is by her husband's side, and that's where I intend to be. I'm going with you, Elijah, and nothing you can say can stop me. I'm determined too, Elijah.
Stop Lovejoy from printing.
printing that filthy sheet of his, and we've got to stop him now.
That's right. We can't let him get away with this radical talk any longer.
Destroy his press.
Burn his warehouse, I
think. Burn his warehouse. They've got the warehouse gone.
Yeah, but there's only 5 or 6 men at most. We got 30.
And we got guns, and we can shoot them.
We gotta get that Lovejoy. We gotta prove to him that guns are what talk. They talk louder than words.
Guns that'll stop his words.
Yeah, that's it.
Kill Lovejoy.
That's the only way to stop him.
Kill Lovejoy.
And you're with me, men. Show him what we're doing. War talk is being heard all over the country. He's getting people inflamed and excited everywhere.
There's only one way. Kill him and silence him once and for all.
All right.
Do we do it now, or do we let Lovejoy go on printing his rotten paper?
We'll do it now.
Now. Here's the headline, Joe. Free men arise, death to slavery. And the subhead, our forefathers fought for liberty, so must we.
If we print that, Mr. Lovejoy, this press will go into the river like all the others.
Just the same. Go ahead and print it. Where's the rest of that copy, Celia?
Right here, darling.
Thanks. Ready, Joe?
Sure, Mr. Lovejoy.
All right, let's get on with the editorial. The Declaration of Independence...
Lovejoy!
Yes, sir.
Lovejoy!
Yes.
There's a mob of men out there. They're armed and they're surrounding the warehouse. What should we do?
Lovejoy! We want you to come out of there. We're holding our fire for 1 minute. If you ain't out by then, we're coming in.
Elijah.
Oh, Celia, I should never have let you come. Now I've no choice but to yield.
Not because of me.
Yes, Celia, those men out there are desperate men. They have guns. They mean to use them. Your life's in danger here. It's all my fault. I won't let you take the risk. I'll go out.
Elijah, once you said you were not afraid to die, then neither am I.
Celia.
If those men out there are the ones you're fighting, if mob violence and hate and destruction are your enemies... then I understand at last what you've been fighting for. Elijah, go on with your editorial.
I'm giving you one last warning, Lovejoy. You better come out.
You're not going out, Elijah. You're going to show them that not even guns can stop you.
Celia, you're wonderful. Callahan, return their fire. But shoot over their heads. We don't want any bloodshed.
I'll tell the boys.
All right, Joe, once again. The Declaration of Independence said to the people of this nation, the whole world, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator. Liberty.
They can't shoot. They haven't hit one of us yet.
Hey, you! Gus! Yeah. Bill, Lem! Get around there behind that warehouse and heave in some of them flaming faggots. Send it afire!
You bet, Jake.
And the rest of you, keep shooting. Right.
Declaration. With a firm reliance in the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And where is our sacred honor today if we submit meekly and timorously to evil?
Lovejoy! Macklin's been killed.
Oh, how terrible.
Well, what about the others?
Two are bad hurt. We can't hold out much longer.
There's no use going on.
There's every use in going on. That's just what that mob out there wants, to stop you, but they can't.
Well, I'm thinking of you, Celia, of your safety.
Please. Please, if you love me, Elijah, go on.
Oh, you're very brave. All right, Callahan, keep firing.
All right.
Let's go on, Joe. Ready?
Yes.
In the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, it is written... we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish...
No use, Lovejoy. We can't go on. They fired the warehouse. There's nothing to do but surrender. It's suicide to go on. Suicide for all of us.
We've got to fight on.
No, Celia. Callahan's right. There's no use going on. They've trapped us. I've got to go out to them.
Oh, no. No, you mustn't.
It's my fight. But I've got to finish it my way.
Come on out, Lovejoy. We got to make up. Come on out.
Oh, Elijah, I can't bear to have it end.
Are you coming out, Lovejoy, or ain't you?
You've been very brave, Celia.
It's you that's made me brave, darling. Without you.
And we've got to go on being brave, both of us. The fight didn't begin with us. It won't end with us.
This is your last chance, Lovejoy.
I'm going out to them, darling.
Yes.
I love you. I love you so very much. Remember that. Always.
It's about time, Lovejoy.
There's no use continuing your useless murder, gentlemen. You've succeeded.
You bet we've succeeded, and that ain't all.
Once again,
You've succeeded in suppressing freedom of speech.
Oh, what's that?
We thought you'd learned your lesson, Lovejoy, but I guess you're slow to learn. Huh?
Six bullets to learn here.
Yeah, I got it. We've gone on and on with you, Wartok. Now we're going to put an end to it once and for all. Do you really believe that guns can suppress freedom of speech?
We can certainly suppress you, and that's all we're after.
If you believe that in suppressing me, you suppress the beliefs and the ideals for which I stand, then I pity your ignorance.
What's the use of letting him go on talking? Why don't we get it over?
Let me say this one thing. If preaching the gospel of freedom is a crime in this land, then I'm a criminal and I'm ready to die. Other men have died for that same gospel. And God willing, there'll be men who come after me, willing to die.
Ah, let them have it, Jake.
As long as you're ready, Mr. Lovejoy.
I'm ready.
So be it.
So died the Reverend Elijah Parrish Lovejoy. In the halls of Congress, an ex-president of the United States, John Quincy Adams, rises to speak.
Elijah Lovejoy is the first American martyr to the freedom of the press and the freedom of the slave.
And in the years that went by, the gospel of freedom that Lovejoy had preached was spread through the land. And in that same state of Illinois, an obscure small-town lawyer arose and spoke. And he was a future president of the United States, and his name was Abraham Lincoln. And he fired the imaginations of men with these immortal words.
If we could first know where we are and whither we are tending, we could better judge what to do and how to do it. A policy has been initiated with the avowed object and confident promise of putting an end to slavery agitation. Under that policy, that agitation has not only not ceased, but has constantly augmented. In my opinion, it will not cease until a crisis shall have been reached and passed. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently, half slave and half free.
As Elijah Lovejoy gave his life for freedom, so did Abraham Lincoln give his life for freedom. The Union was saved, and this nation did endure, all free. Today, the freedom Lovejoy fought for, freedom of the press, is increasingly denied as the enemies of all human liberty march to victory after victory. And under the threat of a world half slave and half free, let us renew again the pledge of Lincoln, and let us once more highly resolve that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Franco Tone and Gail Patrick, soon to be seen in MGM's Love Crazy, as well as the author of today's drama, Robert E. Sherwood, joined the free company under chairmanship of James Boyd, contributing their services without payment. Lee Stevens composed and conducted an original musical score. The free company producer is Charles Vanda. To the Screen Actors Guild and to the American Federation of Radio Artists, and to the Columbia Network, all of whom have combined to make this series possible, to all these people, with a word of a special thanks to Irving Reese, who directed. This is Burgess Meredith, offering the sincere thanks of the Free Company.
Those who enjoyed Mr. Sherwood's play this afternoon will be glad to know that a complete copy of the broadcast has been printed for distribution to listeners. For 10 cents, the cost of printing and mailing, you may receive your copy. Write to the Free Company in care of the Columbia Broadcasting System, New York City. Copies of subsequent Free Company plays will be made available each week as the series goes on. Next week at this time, the Free Company presents One More Free Man by James Boyd, with an all-star cast including Alan Dinehart, Betty Field, Elia Kazan, Margot, Dorothy McGuire, and Lionel Stander, and will be directed by Norman Corwin with music by Bernard Herrmann. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.